In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God,
have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, you gave your only Son to suffer death on the cross for our redemption, and by his glorious resurrection you delivered us from the power of death. Make us die every day to sin, that we may live with him forever in the joy of the resurrection. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
A reading from Acts. Peter began to speak to the people, "I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all." That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses. And who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Congregation, please read the bold print. Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. God's mercy endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly.
I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord.
The Lord indeed punished me sorely, but did not hand me over to death. This is the gate of the Lord. Here the righteous may enter. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. A reading from 1 Corinthians. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. The word of the Lord.
The Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, our children were on spring break this week, and I took them with me one day to the YMCA for cardio kickboxing class. And early in the workout, the instructor says, "Okay, 50 jumping jacks," to which they all replied in unison, "50? There were two things that crossed my mind in the moment. First, they were saying out loud what I always internalized throughout the whole workout each time. And second, this is only the beginning. Now, I believe there's a sense for many that the good news of the empty tomb and the resurrected Christ is the end of the story. But it's only the beginning. From what we heard in our gospel lesson, I hope it's just the beginning, because this ending seems odd, doesn't it? So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, this is how many believe Mark's gospel ends. In your Bibles, you'll see headings for a shorter ending and a longer ending that are believed to be later additions to the gospel. Perhaps this ending really isn't an ending. If it is the ending to Mark's gospel, the women at the tomb had to say something to someone at some point, right? On Maundy Thursday, I invited you all to not just remember the stories that we tell and share throughout Holy Week, but to enter the story right now, that our lives would be wrapped up in this story, that we can rejoice in the good news from table to cross and empty tomb, that our story is a story in which we are joined to the living God, where light shines in the darkness, goodness is stronger than evil, love defeats hate, and life is everlasting. Now, one of my New Testament professors at St. John's University thought that if you were confused by Mark's ending, you needed to start over and essentially go back to the beginning and read Mark. But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Now in Mark chapter 1, after Jesus is baptized, is tempted in the wilderness, and John the Baptist was arrested, Jesus begins his ministry in Galilee. So that was my New Testament professor's argument. You're confused? You're going to find him in Galilee. Go back to the beginning. Read it over. And what does Mark chapter 1, verse 1? I've made a big deal about this throughout Lent. What does that say? The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark 1, verse 1. When we enter the story and follow Jesus from cross and empty tomb, perhaps what Mark is telling us that this is not the end, it is only the beginning. In our lives, we have things that end, but simultaneously the beginning of something else. I tell couples preparing to get married all the time that on their wedding day, the easiest time that you'll say yes to each other is on your wedding day, right? The ending of one part of your old lives and you're coming together in a new life, and it's only the beginning. When a family welcomes new life into the world, we could say that pregnancy has ended, but with the newborn in their arms, it's only the beginning. Mark intentionally writes, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is only the beginning, brothers and sisters. Now, Mary Magdalene and the other women are dealing with death as they go to the tomb. We wouldn't expect them to have their mind set on new beginnings in the wake of their grief. They probably aren't emotionally ready to contemplate such things. The death of Jesus is fresh. The sting of death is still there. They might be numb and are just going through the motions, understanding that death is final. They thought it was the ending, as it normally is. Now, their problem here is often our problem. Our trust is often in the ending. Our trust is in the power of death. As I said on Good Friday, we live in a world where it seems that darkness always wins. We live in a world where the dead stay dead. It's over. The end. But the good news is that it's not the end. The story is not over. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee, which I suppose is an interesting paradox in Mark's gospel, because Jesus isn't there, but he hasn't abandoned them either. Jesus is always ahead of us. Whether we see it or not, whether we believe it or not, Jesus is risen from the dead, and he always goes ahead of us, takes on the cross for us, defeats sin, death, and all evil. Jesus goes ahead of us and invites us to reorient our lives to him. Join to him. He's always calling us back to follow his way. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as I say over and over in relation to that verse, tells us that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is Lord, and Caesar is not. The emperor is not. And the empire is no match for the kingdom of God. Once the good news of the resurrection sinks into our hearts, sinks into the hearts of the women at the tomb, we realize that the freedom we have is a freedom in which nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That death is no longer the end for us. Death no longer has the final word. So some say what we heard just now in our gospel lesson from Mark can be an open-ended ending where we are invited to take part in continuing the story. Last night at the Easter Vigil, I said that those stories of salvation history are not just stories of information, but a living word of formation in faith and a life that becomes our story and our lens in how we see the world. God is still speaking to us, and God is still speaking to the world. And joined to Christ, raised to new life in Him, we are part of this story. And this story is not over. It is only the beginning. When we leave this place today, fed and nourished with the Word and the Holy Supper, we are sent out into the world knowing that Jesus is ahead of us. Jesus is there waiting for us. In a Good Friday world that is lost in hopelessness, the hopelessness of darkness, we get to be an Easter people in this Good Friday world to continue the story with the word of hope and the promise of Christ. It's only the beginning. And we're not just to hear this good news and return to business as usual. The story is not over. It's only the beginning. We're invited to go to the places where Jesus is in the world, to echo and embody God's call for justice and to serve the people that Jesus calls us to love. God is not done with you. God is using you and Christians throughout the world to continue the story by sharing the love of Jesus in word and deed, extending God's mercy and forgiveness to others. Beloved children of God, today we celebrate. We celebrate the story of the love of Jesus poured out for the whole world on the cross, which has defeated sin, death, and all evil. And the good news is that God is not done. It is only the beginning. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
let us say what we believe from the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father and Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally God and the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified on the Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken to the gods. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Rejoicing that Jesus is risen and love has triumphed over fear, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need of good news. Holy God, we pray for the body of Christ, the church. Where the church is persecuted, protect it. Where the church is privileged, grant it humility. Where the church is fractured, heal it. Guide us all to embody Christ's love in the world. God of grace. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. God of grace, life-giving God, we pray for the earth, your good creation. Join our prayers with branches lifted in praise and roaring waters of new life, that together we may proclaim Easter hope. God of grace, merciful God, we pray for all peoples and nations. Free oppressed communities from occupation, exploitation, and abuse. Teach leaders your way of justice. Empower peacemakers and all who work to end violence and strife. God of grace. Liberating God, we pray for people everywhere who long for good news. Roll away the stones that keep people from living with dignity and wholeness. Breathe new life and hope into people struggling to make it through each day. God of grace. Loving God, we pray for this community of faith and those who are ill, especially Charlie, Justin, Susie, Scott, Connie, John, Dan, Eileen, Pat, Dixon, Brent, Debbie, Paul, Candace, Cheryl, Dave, Chip, Angela, Theodore and family, Claire Ellen, Julie, Bill, Jeff, Jim, and our homebound, and for your spirit in our midst. Feed us at your Easter table and fill us with your wisdom that we may serve and care for others. God of grace. Eternal God, we remember those who have gone before us in death, especially John and all whose ministry in the arts inspired generations to faith. Renew our trust in your promises that we live with joyful courage and compassion. God of grace.
Into your hands, most merciful God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your abiding love through Jesus Christ, our resurrected and living Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of God's peace.
us pray. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so, with Mary Magdalene and Peter, and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
We give you thanks, Father, through Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, whom you sent in this end of the ages to save and redeem us and to proclaim to us your will. He is your Word, inseparable from you, through whom you created all things and in whom you take delight. He is your Word, sent from heaven to a virgin's womb. He there took on our nature and our lot and was shown forth as your Son, born of the Holy Spirit and of the Virgin Mary. He, our Lord Jesus, fulfilled all your will and won for you a holy people. He stretched out his hands in suffering in order to free from suffering those who trust you. He is the one who handed over to a death he freely accepted in order to destroy death, to break the bonds of the evil one, to crush hell underfoot, to give light to the righteous, to establish his covenant, and to show forth the resurrection. Taking bread and giving thanks to you, said, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering then his death and resurrection, we take this bread and cup, giving you thanks that you have made us worthy to stand before you and to serve you as your priestly people. Send your Spirit upon these gifts of your church. Gather into one all who share this bread and wine. Fill us with the Holy Spirit to establish our faith in truth, that we may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory of Amen.
When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. You may be seated. This time I'd like to invite forward those who are helping with the distribution of the sacrament and those who are going to partake in Children's Church this morning, which will be taking place in the Fellowship Hall. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuous by method of intinction. I will be in the center aisle with the consecrated hosts. We'll have two stations for consecrated wine. If you desire grape juice, they'll be on the lectern side. Intinction is a method in which you'll take the consecrated host and dip it into the chalice of your preference. An usher will release you forward as you come up to receive the sacrament. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you.
Thank you.
You have been filled with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go tell the whole world of his love. Invite the choir to come forward.
Let us pray. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord.
Amen. As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Thank you.